assassino. Thank you very much, Amos. Appreciate that. All right, let's take God's word this evening and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter number 11 in God's word. Same text as last Sunday night, different message, but same text, same subject as last Sunday night. The subject is prayer. This, of course, is a great passage on the subject of prayer. As a matter of fact, purpose of it is to answer a disciple, the disciple's question, Lord, teach us to pray. So this is exactly what this is, lessons on prayer, and I hope it'll be helpful to you this evening. Verse number 1, Luke chapter 11, God's word says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. Children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Last Sunday evening, we preached from this text on the statement, lend me 3 loaves. And we talked about the 3 loaves, and we talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in this matter of prayer. The Father is the one that we ask, and the Father is the one that answers. And then we talked about the Son, that is the friend And we talked about the Holy Spirit, and that is the answer. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the answer to all of these things that the Lord puts on this prayer list here in verse number 2, 3, and 4. And as many as He needs is the answer. The Holy Spirit of God can more abundantly satisfy every need that a person has, giving you the wisdom and the direction and working things out and giving you abilities beyond your own and everything on that list, everything that you find in here that a person would or should or could pray for, the Holy Spirit ultimately will be the one that will work out the answer and be the answer. And so thus, the answer to everything that a person would pray about and pray for is simply in the Heavenly Father giving us the Holy Spirit to do that. All righty. Tonight I want us to look at this friendship thing. We preached about the friendship of the world this morning. And we want to go the other direction now and talk about our friendship with God. And the statement here is in the discourse on teaching us to pray, verse number 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Verse number 8, I say to thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I want you to notice specifically the statement in verse number 8, because he is his friend. Because he is his friend. Of course, the friend is the Lord. The friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's of course, God the Son of God. It's the second person of the Godhead. It's God. That's who the friend is. And because he is his friend is a statement I want us to consider. Now, I want you to notice tonight, because he is his friend, is not the reason that he got his prayer answered. He will not rise and give him because he is his friend. In other words, that friendship is not the reason that he gets an answer. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give as many as he needs. It's the importunity that brought the answer. The friendship did not bring the answer. In other words, God did not answer this man's request just because they had a good relationship, just because they were very close and they were good friends. That did not bring the answer. Righty? Now, that will be an important factor that we want to consider in this matter of friendship with God out of this passage tonight. I want you to notice, because he is his friend, though it did not bring the answer to prayer, I want you to notice what it did bring. I want you to notice what the friendship between this needy man who said, I have nothing to set before people that have come to me in their journey. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to help them with. I don't have anything to give. I am helpless. I am completely empty. Anything and everything I can ever be or do or have, I must have it from my friend. And so, I want you to notice, number one, because he is his friend, that made it much easier to ask for help. When a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him, that's a sad situation, isn't it? When people cross our path and we are completely helpless to help them. We have nothing to offer. Obviously, we're speaking primarily spiritually. That's pretty sad. sad enough if we even speak in physically or tangibly, you know, materially. But it's even more so a sad, sad thing. People come to us and they need some help. But we can't help. We have nothing. And we are spiritually bankrupt, spiritually destitute. We want to help, but we don't have anything to offer. So we need to have a friend that we can easily and comfortably go to. All righty? And our point number one is because he is his friend. And there's no question in here that they are friends. There's no question mark, are you really God's friend? That's not a question in here. Which of you shall have a friend is the question in verse number 5. Do you have this friendship? And the story illustrates, yes, he does have a friend like that. And tonight we want to take it for granted. We want to do a dangerous thing and just assume that you have that friendship, that you have a friend that you can go to when you are in need of help. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're saved and you believe this Bible and you're even remotely serious about your relationship with him, then yes, you do have a friend that you can, as verse number 5 says, go to at midnight. You do have a friend that, as Proverbs 17:17 defines a friend, that loves at all times, at all times. That would include all times on the clock, even midnight. That would include all times in your life. That would include the great times when you're full and you're rich and everything's going wonderful and everything's great, and he loves you at those times. And that would include all times that are not so great. As we say in the marriage vows, for better or for worse. And a friend loves you even in the worst times and the poorer times and the sickness times. You know, Job had some friends that heard about all the troubles that he had, and they came to comfort him because they were indeed his friends. And they sat with him for 7 days and didn't say a word, and they were great friends to him, and they were a great encouragement to him. Then they went and opened their mouth, and then the friendship kind of went down because they said a whole bunch of dumb things. If they'd have just sat there with him, just to be with him, just to be there, they'd have been all right. But our point is, their friendship, or this man's friendship with God, because he is his friend, it was easier to ask this friend for help then, even if it is midnight. All right? Whether you're talking about midnight on the clock, whether you're talking about midnight in the sense the middle of the darkness in your life, you know, when you go through spells or where you wonder where is God, and it just seems like there's a cloud over your life, and it seems like the light's not shining, and it just seems like you're in a fog sometimes, and sometimes you're going through very, very difficult times. And sometimes it's heartbreaking times. Sometimes it's a real struggle, stuff like that. It's just a very difficult time where things are just not real clear sometimes. And you really need some help. And you feel so barren and you feel so empty. And you feel just exactly like this man confessed. I have nothing. And you're just really bankrupt as far as being anything, being able to do anything or fix anything or anything. It's good because he's his friend, even if it is that time that he can go to him. He can go to him. Psalm 71, every time I read Psalm 71, I like it more. It is quickly becoming one of my favorite psalms, and I got a lot of favorite psalms. In Psalm 71:3, the Bible says, well, let me just begin in verse number 1. Psalm 71:1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Don't ever let me be in a state where I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what is right. I don't know what your will is. I don't ever want to be confused. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape, as in escape this confusion and this darkness. Be thou my strong habitation. Verse number 3, I love this statement. Whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. But the Bible talks about the Lord being our strong habitation, as in the place where we just live. In the New Testament, it's called abiding in him. In John 15, we'll look at that passage in a little bit. But he says, that's where I may continually resort. And this man here in this story in Luke chapter 11, who was in a state of had nothing, he could not help, he needed help himself. If he's ever going to be able to help anybody else, he's got to have help himself. At midnight in this man's life, he was able to ask for help, and even at midnight, he was able to ask for help because he is his friend. You know, there are friends. You may have some that you could be comfortable in an emergency, in a great need, calling at midnight. There, I assume, I hope you have friends like that. You have friends maybe that, while you might classify them as friends, you just wouldn't quite be comfortable calling them at midnight. You might, well, I'll wait till in the morning. In the morning, you know, or during the daytime, when it's convenient, more comfortable, and more appropriate, you might go ahead and ask for help very begrudgingly, because you're just so embarrassed sometimes. But very rarely do you have too many friends that you go to at midnight. These guys are friends. This man does have a friend that he can go to at midnight. So our point is, because he is his friend, it's a whole lot easier to ask for help. You know, honestly, there are people who find it very difficult to ask God for help because they don't maintain a friendship relationship with God. They don't, in other words, they don't stay close to God. They don't, as we noticed in James chapter 4 this morning, draw nigh to God, and God draws nigh to them. And them and God are very close. And so trouble comes and difficulties come and needs arise, and they feel like, well, they can't come to God. They feel so far. They feel like they're just disconnected from God. They're not, but they feel like they are, because they let so many things come between them and God. And while they know they need the help and they know God's the one that can provide it, they're just not comfortable coming. They think, They get ideas that God doesn't care and God's not going to help me and God's mad at me and so on and so forth. And so they are hesitant to come, fearful of coming. Sometimes, as we noted this morning, they adopt the world's method. They fight in war to get what they want. They try to work everything out themselves and make it happen because this is the way I want it. I'm going to see that it happens if it kills me. Sometimes it does, because they won't just come to God. But see, because he is his friend, here's a dark hour and a great need, he can come. And he doesn't seem to indicate any hesitation to come. He comes easily. He comes comfortably. He comes quickly because he is his friend. Him and his friend, as in this man and God, are on that kind of terms. They have that kind of relationship. All right. Number 2, because he is his friend, it made it possible for this man to have faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the fact of the matter is, this needy man here could come to God as his friend and do so with faith. The scripture says simply in Mark chapter 11 to have faith in God. And the scripture says, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And we can pray with faith. It makes it possible for us to have faith because he is his friend, because of their closeness, because of their relationship and their friendship relationship. He's able to have faith. He said, "Friend, lend me three loaves. Lend me three loaves." This is midnight. This is when you got to bake the bread on a daily basis. This is not you go to the bread box and pull it out, or you go to the fridge and pull it out, wherever you keep your bread at or your cupboard. This man knew his friend's resources. This man knew that his friend that he went to at midnight could provide three loaves. He knew very well that he could. He knew what his friend had. He knew his friend's resources. That's important, that we be in this kind of a friendship and this kind of a closeness with God, because that gives us faith that God can meet our needs. Whatever it is, if it's some material need or some physical need or some mental or emotional need, or obviously a spiritual need, if we're needing wisdom, we're needing direction, we're needing some clarity on things that might be a little cloudy or confusing to us, we know that God has the resources to answer whatever our need is, to meet whatever our need is. We know that he does, and the reason we know that is because we know God. We are close to God. We know him. We are friends. And we know, because of that friendship, because he's his friend, the Lord has given us such an insight, an inside information, if you like to look at it that way, about everything that he has, about all that he's provided, about all that is available to us, about all of his riches in glory. That is the source of him providing our needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He will do it by Christ Jesus, the Bible says. And so we have faith to turn to God, our friend. If he is our friend, we have faith because we know what he has. We know his resources. His resources are unlimited. They're not on ration. You're going to have to get in line and wait your turn. You know, God doesn't have any kind of program like that. It's unlimited, infinite resources. He knew, because he is his friend, of his friend's ability and power. He knew that not only did his friend have the resources to provide his need, he also had the power to do it. He had the authority to do it. He had the ability to do it. He had the power to make it happen. He could do it. It didn't matter if it was midnight or not. He could do it. His friendship, because he is his friend, made it possible for him to have faith. Because he is his friend, he not only knew his friend's resources and his friend's power, but this is important. He knew his friend's heart. He knew his friend's heart. He said to his friend, "I have nothing to set before him." He said, "Lend me three loaves." But the answer that he initially got was, "Trouble me not. The door's now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." He knew, though it was midnight, everybody's gone to bed. That's what normal folks do. At midnight or before midnight, they try to get to bed, shut the door, and go to bed. "I can't get up and give you bread now." But he knew his friend's heart. He knew his friend's heart. He knew that his friend I know it's a bother. Yeah, it's a trouble. I know it's going to disturb everybody. But he knew his friend wanted to help and would help. And without the scripture saying so, I could easily believe this friend has helped him before. And this is not the first time that he's come to him and asked for 3 loaves and confessed he has nothing. And he knew that this friend had a heart to help. You see, that's one of the great things about being close to God, living in a close relationship with God. Well, you and God are close and intimate with each other. You really know each other well. You know God, and you know not only what God has, you not only know what God can do, but you know what God is. You really know what He is, because you just know. Just like knowing any other person, the closer you get to them, the more you know not just what they can do, not just what they have, but you really get to know what they are. That's why young people go through this courting or dating or whatever title you want to give to it process. They're getting to know each other. And that's what happens when husbands and wives get married. And they eventually know each other so much that they think alike sometimes. And they can almost read each other's minds, even know what the other is thinking a lot of times. Obviously not completely, but largely they do. They just know each other. A lot of times people are given the benefit of the doubt in questionable situations because people know what they are. They know their heart. And here's a situation that a man is in great need at a dark time, but he has a friend. Because he is his friend, it's possible for him to have a great faith and trust and confidence in this friend, because he knows his resources, he knows his power, he knows what he has, he knows what he can do, and he knows what he is. He really knows him. Number three, because he is his friend, not only does it make it easier for him to ask for help, not only does it make it possible to have faith, but number three, this is really important, it makes it possible for him to have this importunity here. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. This importunity, that word simply means he wouldn't take no for an answer. That means he wouldn't go away. He just kept asking, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Well, I can't. We're all in bed. It's late. Don't bother me. He will not get up and give him bread just because, hey, I really love this guy. He's in great need. I really, really love this guy. We are such close friends. We're such good friends. I think I'll get up. No, that's not the reason he got up. He got up because the guy wouldn't go away. Because of his importunity, he will rise. Give him 3 loaves, 10 loaves, 20 loaves, 100 loaves, as many as he needs. He can bite the whole town. It's on me. I'm providing as many as he needs. Reason he wouldn't go away is because he is his friend. You ever ask somebody for something, ask them to do something, or maybe help in some way, and you don't get a very encouraging answer? Sometimes you don't get any answer. Sometimes they just ignore you. And then sometimes they may give you a half-hearted answer. And so have you ever, after going through that and getting a sense that they're really not interested in help, you say, well, I guess I'll get that. That was a dumb idea. You ever do that? I've done that a lot of times. Well, I guess I won't be asking them again. I just kind of make a little note of that. Yeah, that happens a lot, doesn't it? But see, here in this relationship, this friendship here, I know he said no. I know he said he can't do it. I know he said he first said he can't, then he said he won't. But I know him. He will. So he came back and asked again. And he came back and asked again. I don't know how many times he came back, but he came back enough times to get the answer. He came back enough times that the guy finally said that he would go ahead and get up and give him whatever he needs. I got to fire up the oven. I got to make all this bread. Might as well make all that you need. I'll just do it all at once. You'll be back tomorrow, wanting some more probably, or next week. So I'll give you a whole load now. So how much do you want? And he did that not because they are such good friends. They're so close. Boy, he has special insight. And he has special favors. And he gets special privileges with God. It was his friendship that allowed him and made it possible for him to keep coming back. It was the friendship. Because he is his friend, he could persist and just keep knocking on that door, asking for three loaves. And not turning to anybody else. Not going next door, okay, I'll ask him. I'm turning to Uncle Joe, I'll see if he can help me. No, this friend. This is the man that can help me. This is the man that will help me. This is the man that has a heart to help me. This is the man that has the power to help me. I am not going away. I don't have anywhere else to go. It was his friendship. Because he is his friend, it made it possible for him to have that importunity that did get the answer. It was his friendship with him that made it possible to have that importunity even when he initially was denied. And he said, I cannot rise and give thee. Even when his request was delayed, and I won't, and I won't, and I won't. But he knew that he would. But he didn't do it now, and he didn't do it then, and he didn't do it then, and he didn't do it then. And I don't know how many times he asked, but it was delayed, and it was delayed, and it delayed, and this whole thing started at midnight, and I don't know what time it was when he finally got the answer. It might have been 3 or 4 in the morning. I have no idea. It might have been 6 o'clock, time to get up anyway. I don't know when it was, but he got as many as he needs. And the denial didn't deter him, and the delay didn't affect him. He could just keep asking until the answer came. Importunity gets answers. That's important. That's the important point, and that's the lesson of this whole passage on prayer. Importunity gets answers. But you will not pray with importunity if you are not close enough to God to know his heart, to know his power, to know his resources, and to have that kind of a relationship with God that you know you can keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And you will not be embarrassed, you will not be ashamed, you will not be uncomfortable. You will lay hold on his promises. You will lay hold on his power. You'll lay hold on his resources. You'll lay hold on his command to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If the time of need is midnight, so be it. If the help is three loaves, so be it. But you can get it. The Bible tells you to come boldly. And if you are close enough to God, you'll do that with that spirit and that attitude. Not a bossy spirit, but a bold spirit that you know God will answer. You know God wants to answer. You know God can. God has every means and every power and all that he needs to answer you. And he has the heart to do so. And you won't go away. His friendship. So you can't do that with just anybody. You can't do that with just anybody. But because he is his friend, he could do that. He could pray with importunity. All right, let's close it out with this then. How do we be a friend to God? How do we develop or even maintain that kind of closeness to God that we are not hesitant or fearful to, if you want to use the terminology and the analogy here, to make a pest of ourselves, to trouble him, as he said in verse number 7. In other words, to just keep coming with great faith and expectancy because you know God can work it out. What enables us to have that kind of closeness and relationship with God? There's a lot of things we could cover. We could cover this in a series of messages about friendship with God, but let me just give you some simple things very simply and quickly tonight. Proverbs 18:24 gives us this simple principle about friendship. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That is a great truth. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We talked this morning about friendship with the world. You want the world to be your friend? You're going to have to be friends with the world. That's just all there is to it. You're going to have to show yourself friendly to the world. You will show yourself friendly to whoever you want to be your friend, whoever you want your friends to be. A lot of times you see kids go to a new school or something, and their little radar pops up, and they can hone in on the rebellious crowd, the cool crowd, or whatever, and that's the crowd that they want to be friends with, so that's the crowd they show themselves friendly to. So they start dressing to impress them, they start talking to impress them, and walking and strutting everything to impress them. We've said many times, if you got to try to be cool, it's because you're not. But people don't get that. They got to think about that a while. You're cool, you don't have to try to be. You just are. You got to try to be cool. You got to change what you do and change how you live and change what you say and how you look and how you talk and all that kind of stuff. Because you got to impress somebody. You're not impressive. Think on that. All righty? But see, the point is they're trying to show themselves friendly to whoever they want to be friendly with. Now, that principle works not only in human relationships, but that principle is also true in this matter of our relationship with God. Man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Which of you shall have a friend? Namely, God. Which of you are going to have that kind of closeness and that kind of relationship with God that you can be like Abraham, who was called the friend of God? That's quite a testimony. Show yourself friendly to God. Show yourself friendly to God. John chapter 15 addresses this matter. A friendship between us and God. John chapter 15, verse number 13. I think we read this last week as well. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. This is what Jesus says. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Let me read. Just hang on to John 15. I'll be right back. I just want to swing over here to James chapter 4 and read a few verses out of this passage we preached from this morning, James chapter 4. Verse number 6, but he giveth more grace, God does. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. And your joy to heaviness. And that is set in the context of who you are being friends with. Verse number 4 talks about your friendship with the world. Being a friend of the world makes you the enemy of God. The friendship of the world is enmity with God, the Bible says. But rather than be friends with the world, we need to be friends with God. And this passage that we just read in James chapter 4 is how you do that. Right? And we have it detailed for us here in this passage in John 15. I hope you're there. John chapter 15, let me give you three simple things about this matter of being a friend to God here in this matter of prayer. Number one, listen to him. If you're going to show yourself friendly to God, listen to him. Listen to him. Can you, when you meet new people, can you detect fairly quickly that this is not going to develop into much of a friendship? It's really not going to go anywhere. I mean, you're going to be acquaintances. You might have to work with them or something like that. But it's really not going to develop into much of a friendship. And one of the reasons probably that you'll notice is that they don't have a whole lot of interest in listening to you. So, therefore, you detect they're really not interested in being your friend. You ever notice that? How convincing is it to God that we really want to be God's friend when God can easily tell we don't have a whole lot of interest in listening to Him? Now, it's not because God doesn't speak. You know, some folks you can't get to know and you can't get to be friends with because they don't talk much. They just don't say anything, you know. Some folks are just kind of quiet, bashful, backwards. And just kind of hard to get to know Him because of that. God's not that way. God speaks clearly. God speaks freely. He speaks openly. And He wants to speak. And He speaks through His Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to you when you read the Bible. God speaks to you when you meditate on the Bible. God speaks to you through the preaching of the Bible. God speaks to us. Don't get weird and go into all this, hey, God told me, if He told you, He told you from the Bible, all right? Don't confuse God speaking to you from the Bible with God leading you by His Spirit. God speaks through the Bible and leads by His Spirit. Right? Don't confuse the two, all right? I know what people mean when God told me to, you know, they say things like that. I think I do, but some folks may not know what you mean. God doesn't speak to you anyway but the Bible. All righty? God will tell you the truth and give you principles that you can order and direct your life by with the help and direction of His Holy Spirit, and that speaking from God will come from the Bible. So if you want to be friends with God, you best open your ears to the Bible. You best be real quick to open your ears to the Bible. Remember in one of our studies in Proverbs a few weeks ago in chapter 28, we noted verse number 9. chapter 28 of Proverbs and verse number 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer should be abomination. Even his prayer should be abomination if he turns away his ear. I don't want to hear what God says. Well, I got news for you. That's kind of tough on a friendship. Somebody treats you that way. Somebody tells you, just shut up, don't talk to me. That's kind of tough on a friendship. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to listen to you. That's tough on a friendship. You're not going to abide in a close relationship with the Lord if you're not willing to listen to Him. You want to show yourself friendly. Then listen to Him. If you want to show yourself, and by the way, that's what He said here in chapter 15, verse 15. I've called you friends, for all things I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I've told you what my Father told me. Jesus hasn't kept secrets from us. He has told us what His Father told Him. Because we're friends. Friends, listen. They listen. And they hear. You ever try to carry on a conversation with somebody and you know they're not listening? They're just biting their tongue, waiting for you to shut up so they can get in their next statement. They're just being courteous, but they're not listening. They're not paying attention to what you say. Just wait for you to quit talking because they got something to say. You ever notice people that way? That's kind of frustrating, isn't it? That's kind of tough on a friendship as well. They don't ever listen. It's tough on a marriage. Not good listeners. See, when we talk about listening, we're not talking about just read your Bible every day. We're talking about listening. We're talking about hearing what God's trying to say. We're not talking about just make sure you come to church. We're talking about hearing what God says when you do. You want to be in that kind of closeness with God. Show yourself friendly to God and listen to Him. Number two, obey Him. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Obey Him. That comes out of faith. That comes out of trust. It's kind of tough on a friendship if you don't trust Him. You don't trust the Lord. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's doing. Trust him. Just do what I tell you. Lean not to your own understanding, as the scripture says. Don't do that. I don't see why. I don't understand. Well, if you don't understand, then don't stand on that. We'll be making decisions based on a statement. I don't understand. That's not wise. Trust him. Because you do. Okay, Lord, I know what you're saying. I believe you. I think you're right. Because you know what you're doing. I don't understand, but you do. I trust you. I'll do what you say. Obey him. And number three, talk to him. Talk to him. This whole chapter here in chapter 15 of John is about abiding in Christ. It's about being close to Christ and staying that way. And he talks in here about being fruitful. And he talks about God using you. And talks about God helping you. And he talks about God answering your prayers. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. My words abide in you. In other words, I speak to you and you pay attention. And then you speak to me and I pay attention. Because you and God are close. Talk to God. That means as in worship, as in communion, as in praise, as in thanksgiving, as in acknowledging him in all your ways, as in asking him for help, asking him for what you need, as in just conversation. Be close to God is our point. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. James says that we need to humble ourselves and we need to submit ourselves. If we're not going to be the friend of the world, we are going to be the friend of God. We need to humble ourselves before God and submit ourselves to him. Listen to him. Hear what he's saying to us. Obey him and commune with him. Talk with him. Righty? That's good for any friendship. Especially is it good and necessary for our friendship with God. This is not about how to be saved. Obviously, you know how to be saved. Repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Receive him into your heart by faith, and he'll save you just like that. You'll be God's child. Holy Spirit will live inside of you, never leave you. Never. You know all that. We're not talking about how you be saved. We're talking about how you and God live close to each other. God never leaves you, never forsakes you. Make sure you don't forget him, and as we talked about this morning, be unfaithful to him because you want to be friends with God. Which of you shall have a friend is the question. Is your relationship with God that type of relationship? You and God are that close. When needs arise, fears arise, and everything else arises, no matter what time it is, no matter what the situation is, there's no hesitancy in going to him. You know exactly where to go. You don't have any hesitation to do so because you know his heart and his resources and his power. You know what he has. You know what he can do. You know what he is. He's the only one that you'd even want to go to because he's your friend. And you can just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. Because he is his friend. Because you will not go anywhere else. You will not count on anyone else. Trust anyone else. Resort to anyone else. He will rise and give you as many as you need. God will answer your prayers and give you the help and the grace that you need as much as you need. If you won't go anywhere else, because of his importunity, he will rise. Alrighty? And when you read those promises then in verse 9 and 10, everyone that asketh, that's the point. Everyone that will ask, and don't ask anybody else, ask. And don't quit asking, and don't give up asking, and don't despair of asking. Ask, seek, and knock. Everyone. Boy, did that ever help me. Years ago, I was just a young man. Years ago. I may be nobody, but I'm included in everyone. I took that promise, literally. Boy, has it ever been true. Everyone. Right? We got to quit. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I hope that'll be helpful. Talked about the friendship of the world this morning. God resisteth the proud. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Will you stand on your feet, please? I'm going to pray. The ladies play an invitation song if you need to meet the Lord. Please do so tonight. Dear Lord, we're very grateful.